Okay, thank you. What I wanted to do today is present some information. We've had sort of Steve Wright and I in particular, Jeff Dahlberg and some others in California have been increasing our efforts in the area of sorghum, irrigation and water use evaluations over a period starting in 2009, continuing through this past year, the current year. And more recently, this has been receiving some additional support from the University of California Ag and Natural Resources. So what I wanted to do is just give you a brief rundown on the types of things that we've done. We started with some fairly simple trials that were furrow irrigated studies in the Central Valley of San Joaquin Valley area on the east side of the valley. In a loam soil is where we started at the College of Sequoias. This was a furrow irrigated trial. And I'll go through a sequence of different studies that we've kind of gone through as we've learned things over the years. So the first 2 years' worth of studies I'll talk about, 2009 and 2010, were basically silage sorghum types of studies, again, on a loam soil. These were furrow irrigated, moderately high available soil water holding capacity, gated pipe type of irrigation systems. And then I'll next talk about some studies that were done at the Westside Research Center in a clay loam soil, west side of the San Joaquin Valley, a high of water holding capacity soil versus Kearney on the east side, a sandy loam soil with surface infiltration issues and a lower soil water capacity in those particular studies. So just to start with the 2009 and 10 that were done in the loam soil, this is the type of irrigation treatments that we were doing. I just have some dates here with a June planting date, the 1 year, an August planting date, a very late planting date, the second year. And in these particular trials, you can see the irrigation application amounts in inches that represented totals all the way from zero to two different treatments at about 10 inches of application versus about 15 of applied irrigation water, not including that pre-plant irrigation amount. And again, the two differences that will recur through a lot of these different ones I'll discuss will be a treatment that eliminated, say, a late season irrigation versus a treatment that eliminated an early season irrigation or multiple early season irrigation. So if we go then to looking at soil water use in addition to applied water to come up with an estimate of total ET across these treatments, I just want to draw your attention because I have a fair number of slides here to go through to the total ET ranges here that go across these treatments. So that zero treatment used much more soil water, of course, as you might expect, both with a more of a grain sorghum type as opposed to a forage sorghum type. But we ended up with a range of around 11 for a low-end ET under these conditions to a high of 18 with a grain and about 19 with a forage. So just jumping to the later planting under lower potential ET conditions as we go into a later fall type of period for much of the growth of the crop. Again, looking at total soil water use, as you might expect with the no water application versus these other intermediate treatments, we have a low-end number of around 10, a high-end number closer to 17 inches in the grain sorghum versus about 12 for a low to a high of 18. Part of our reason, again, for looking at all of these type of things is we don't feel like we often have very many options for deficit irrigation approaches when we're looking at something like corn production for a lot of the dairy industry and everything that's present in the San Joaquin Valley. Especially in our current drought situation, we really need some options as to what in the heck we can do basically when we are stuck with water availability issues and the need for really having deficit irrigation on some of our ground. So I'm not going to go into this in any detail, but we did make some plant water stress measurements. Leaf water potential differences did occur across the different treatments, as you might expect, as the stress levels increased. We also looked at infrared thermometer measurements in these fields. So then the next stage, what we did is we went on to try to do a comparison at locations at Westside, again in a clay loam soil, and comparison with Kearney in a sandy loam soil as an extension of these earlier trials. And again, we had a low-end number at the west side and Kearney locations here in 2012. We needed a little bit more water in the early stages under warm, very warm conditions in order to be able to come up with a reasonable stand and acceptable early growth. So our low-end numbers in applied water were about 7 inches to about 17 inches here at this west side location, again, clay loam soil. And what that resulted in terms of looking at both the applied water plus soil water use in an 8-foot profile. We do get that type of water use to a very deep depth with crops like corn and sorghum and cotton. And again, we're looking at total ETC estimates, applied water plus soil water use, ranging from a low of around 14 to a high of about 20 in the forage sorghum types, 19 for a high in the grain sorghum types, a little bit lower, and then these intermediate ones that'll be important when we look at some of the yield numbers, around 16 to 17 inches. At the Kearney site, again, sandy loam soil, we had to irrigate more frequently, but the amounts of water that we're trying to apply, the timing of eliminating, say, late season irrigations or eliminating some early season irrigations, were targeted for the same growth stages and all. And again, we have very similar type of numbers in terms of low end numbers of about 12 to high of 18 in the grain, 13 to about 19 inches in, and 16s for these intermediate treatments. And moving into the 2013 studies and what we're focusing on right now, we added a couple of additional studies, again, to try to come up with something that may be of a practical interest to growers. And what we have in these particular cases then, this is the Kearney location. We had to irrigate more frequently because about 2 inches of water per irrigation is about all you can get into the ground in the sandy loam soil with low infiltration characteristics. And again, what you can see is T2, treatment 2 is eliminating end-of-season irrigations. Treatment 3 is eliminating or reducing some of the early season irrigations. Treatment 4 is eliminating a few more irrigations. Treatment 5 is the most severe. It's not a zero, but it's targeting on applications down in this 7 to 8 inches of applied water versus 11, around 14 to 15 versus about 19 for the high-end applications. And we did something similar. Again, we can put on larger total water applications in the clay loam soils at the Westside Research Center, higher water holding capacity, better intake characteristics. But again, eliminating some late season irrigations in some treatments, early season in others. And again, shooting for these ranges of 7 to 11, about 15 to 19 inches of applied water. So if you put this together and look at the Kearney site, which is a sandy loam type of soil, in the gray shown here is the applied water across these different treatments. Again, for this is data for one specific type of a forage sorghum that was included in the study versus a mycogen corn variety that was included. And then what's shown here in the hatched pink color is the soil water use in an 8-foot deep profile. And again, you can see that we're talking about totals that range up to in the low 20s for the high-end water treatments, 18 to 20 inches in the intermediate, 16 to 17 inches in this lower application, 11 inches applied water, 7 inches of soil water use, and then about a total of around 15 inches in the one that receives 7 inches of water. So I think it sort of demonstrates the idea that we can have a fair amount of flexibility in the way we irrigate, and still if we have water stored in the soil profile, again, which is a common feature of all of these study sites and trials, then the crop has a good chance at getting access to that that available water. This is a grain sorghum, which was added as a larger part of the studies that were started in 2013 and that continued in the current year, 2014, the data I'm not showing. Again, you could see what we're trying to follow with the same irrigation treatments in the grain sorghum types. We're looking at applied water across these different groups, around 18, around 15, around 11, around 7 inches applied water, and then we're following again stored soil water use from the beginning of the season to post-harvest in the different groups according to maturity classes. So early maturing, a little bit lower water use than the mid-maturity, a little bit lower water use than the later maturity. And we'll see how some of this shakes out over multiple years of study sites and locations. In terms of harvest operations, then, I just want to give you an idea of what kind of yields and where we saw the big drop-offs in terms of yield responses. These are values in silage yields corrected to 70% moisture content. And you can see this is the more of a forage type in purple and more of a grain type in green in the earlier studies. And you can see actually these that ranged from around 20 inches to about 16 inches of ET in these two treatments actually hung in there quite well. A little bit more damage seen with reducing early season, eliminating early season irrigations and with the later, but not a real strong trend. And then certainly we had a fairly strong yield impact when we went to the no water application in these 2009 and then again in the 2010 studies. Yields are a lot lower in these late summer, fall growth period plantings in 2010 at this site. I just wanted to point out we are looking at silage quality. I'm not going to take the time to go through these, but we are looking at silage quality. We're expecting that in some of the more severe treatments it will certainly have impact, so that's a big part of what we're trying to do. Another thing I'll just point out is that we have in the 2013 and 2014 studies, we have six forage sorghum cultivars and six grain sorghum cultivars that are included in these trials across two sites, again, to try to see how consistent the results will be across locations. So again, just to finish up here with the yield data, this is the Sandy Loam Kearney site. Again, if you eliminate an early irrigation, a little bit stronger response in here in the silage type. Not as strong of a response in terms of reduction shown in purple here in the more of a grain type that was grown in these years 2012 and earlier. And again, this type of a drop-off seen in the no irrigation. But again, for a no irrigation or a low irrigation treatment in this particular case, these are some pretty decent numbers if you have stored soil water available. Again, at the Westside Research site, you can see the yields corrected to 70% moisture content here in silage yields. Again, eliminating an early irrigation, a small significant reduction in this particular case in the forage type, a non-significant further reduction in yields. But again, some pretty good yield responses with some water savings that amount to around 4 to 5 inches with going to these intermediate deficit irrigation treatments. Then this gets a little more complicated. I'll just show you kind of what we're up against looking at some of this data as we start throwing in a lot more cultivars plus a corn comparison. Again, this is the data in tons corrected to 70% moisture content. Looking in what we've included and what we'll try to do when we publish all of this information is we have some medium BMRs, some photoperiod-sensitive BMRs, some dual-purpose, more of a grain type materials, Trudan, Sudan type, some of the newer, shorter, bracky types of sorghums compared to corn. And again, you can see, again, we don't have a true zero water application, but these were getting around 7 inches or so, I think, of water in these T5 treatments. And again, you can see that there obviously are at least some opportunities for looking at certainly some yield impacts in more in some varieties than in others, but some decent opportunities for some reductions in water use with what I think are acceptable yield reductions. This is the Westside data for 2013, and again, a similar type of response. Again, as we expect, we'll see some complications and some differences across the different six cultivars in terms of the responses. But again, the patterns and the relative yield levels are fairly similar. Again, I think as you get down here into the 11 inches of applied water plus soil water use, around 15 or 14 inches versus about 16 or 17 inches ET versus about 20, 21. Again, I think there are some trade-offs that between yield responses and water savings that the growers may find some use of. And then again, as I mentioned, starting in 2013, where we added grain sorghum trials to look at six different cultivars, some early, some mid, and some late maturity materials. Some similarities in responses, and again, in general, in most, we didn't see a big drop-off until we got to the more severe deficit irrigation treatments. I think our yields are going to be a little higher than this in the 2014 data, but we're still working on that. So summary comments then. Again, we've conducted these at multiple sites starting half a dozen years ago or so. All the sites, it's really important to acknowledge, have significant pre-plant irrigations and a rainfall to provide stored soil moisture in the upper 4 to 6 feet of the soil profile. So that has a big impact on what we see in response to applied water. In every one of the cases, if you're not familiar with the San Joaquin Valley, we had zero rainfall during the course of the growing season. So it's pretty easy to not have to worry about making corrections for rainfall. Forage sorghum entries used a low of about 12 to 14 inches in our low water treatments versus about 19 to 20 in the highest irrigation treatments. There's some evidence, it's not always clear, that eliminating or reducing early season irrigations reduced yields more than eliminating late season irrigations, as you might expect with some of the sorghum types, particularly the grain types. Grain sorghum entries had about 1 to 2 inches lower calculated total water use in the same irrigation treatments that we used for forage. So we're going to continue this in 2014. We did continue in 2014. We have one additional year in 2015 that will be continuing with the same treatments. Okay, and that's sort of a rush job through our experience. Again, we're very interested in the sorghums, I think, in the San Joaquin Valley as having a potential fit in the, particularly in the need for feed in our area, and it really is something that really sort of comes to pass that in a year like this, when trying to meet all the feed needs of the San Joaquin Valley with our kind of drought conditions, is pretty difficult. Okay.
I was noticing that as you irrigate, you have less soil water use, and I'm just wondering, does that correlate with a shallower roots, shallower rooting of the crop?
I think the question was, if I understood it right, was you noticed that as we increase the water application amount, we had less total soil water use. And does that relate to shallower rooting? I guess since I'm the one who did most of the soil sampling and all at the end of the season, I would say I don't think so. I know that we had roots down, some significant rooting down to 5 to 6 feet. It was really evident when you went through and took soil gravimetric soil sensor readings. I guess part of what I'm assuming is happening is that, you know, for one thing, I'm using a crop coefficient that just to show you how sorghum has been a little on the neglected side in California. The crop coefficient I'm using was developed at the Westside Research Center in the 1960s. And I don't know of another one available in California since that time. So there's also I do think that we were a little on the high end with some of our water applications in the late season.
One other question. Let's say as deficits become more severe and you go to treatments 5, 6, or 7, my wonder is, are you better off to go with the forage sorghum or stick with your grain sorghum, where you're not removing your residues?
That's an interesting question. I hadn't thought of that. I guess part of what I'm assuming is that the differences that most of the people are going to have in the end use for the crop. In grain sorghum, I guess if you looked at the potential acreage in our area, the interest in forage sorghum, I think, is probably much greater than it is in grain sorghum at the moment, unless there's something going on pretty dramatic with ethanol and some of the other incentives for grain production. So I guess I'm assuming that more people are going to be working toward looking at forage sorghum, and I guess to me, other than maybe with some of the bracky types or some of those, I would assume that we're going to have a much more, not necessarily a linear response to applied water, but maybe a more predictable response to, you know, reductions in applied water. And I do think that compared to corn, you know, the nice thing with the sorghum that we're interested in is the whole idea that you have some options where you can make a targeted decision to say, I'm going to reduce 5 or 6 inches of water or 2 or 3 inches of water, and I'll find someplace else on my farm to use it. So that's probably not answering your question at all, but anyway. All right. Thank you.